What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, let's get to business. Try to clean up the puke off your faces. I, you know what? Look, I know yesterday I pulled a Rico. Hey, guys, it's me, a BOGO. Okay.
Is that how I sound?
No. Okay. I'm just... Dude, I'm sorry, but there are certain series that are worse than others. So here's... I'm going to give you a PSA. If you're one of these bought and paid for Lemming fans... And you don't even think it's appropriate to talk about getting clapped up by a team that traded 10 players, hates their life, and doesn't want to play baseball, turn channel. Mm-hmm. Simple. Okay? Certain series happen, and they're not acceptable. Oh. This is not acceptable.
On a bullpen day.
On a day, here's how bad it is. The Twins pitched people that I don't know who they are. Me!
We got one left-hander we can bring out, so we have to use him at the right moment. Didn't matter.
Kenny's adopted brother. He came in the seventh. Didn't even know Kenny had a brother. Look, in all seriousness, here's the backdrop to all this. If you were at work, hey, if you're at the ballpark, bear with me for one moment. If you're at work, I just want you to imagine a world where a team... who we're told is infallible, needs no help, and how dare you question their trade deadline, goes out against a team that's up for sale, no payroll, traded 10 players, everyone's gutted, people don't even want to play, and that team drops a bomb on you, takes 2 out of 3, and now Team A, who's the dominant team, has lost 16 of 23 games. If you'd like more context, good, I'm glad, I'm here for that. A month ago today... How serendipitous. A month ago today, your Detroit Tigers had a 15.5 game lead in this division. Today it's 6 because the Guardians beat the Mets again. Gavin Williams essentially had a no-hitter, and you are now up 6. So I'm not telling you to panic. It's your prerogative to do what you want to do. But what you don't get to do is run around and say how unreasonable 97-1 is or how Mike and Rico are meanie pants is. If you want that, there are other shows. There are other media outlets. But we're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Rico, I'm sorry. They looked like they had no interest in playing the last 2 days. Lazy.
See, I saw it a little differently. I saw a team that was actually going out there trying to win. They just couldn't get it done. For some reason, they made the Twins look like the Dodgers, where it's like, okay, when you lose to the Phillies, they're just a better team than you. That's okay.
But work with me.
But this team, right there, it's like, who is that pitching? I don't know. They lost 10 players to the trade deadline. on a bullpen day, and they came in here and just dominated.
But they're swinging
you.
In garbage. That's my point, Rico. Like, that's laziness.
Well, yeah, and it goes back to your star players ain't looking like star players
right now.
Well,
glad you brought it up. Last 25 games, Javi Baez is Harvey. I hope all of you had fun with the fake-ass all-star routine. He's terrible again. Last night, he swung at a pitch that was in Michigan City, Indiana.
Sister Jean on the mound.
That was Sister Jean's first pitch. Riley Green the last 25 games? How about a 590 OPS? 590. Yeah. Riley Green is awful now.
Water's found its level with him. Yeah.
And the pitching, the bullpen, all of it. How many more times do I have to look at Tyler Holton? I mean, at Tommy Canley in the last month, ERA, right around Rico's IQ, 100. You can't pitch him. Go look at the data. It's not even an opinion. It's factual. This is, guys, when you lose 16 out of 23, you got to have a conversation. Mm-hmm. You went into the deadline, and I had to listen to Scott Harris basically act like they were 50 games over, they don't have needs, everyone's unreasonable, and our prospects are worth more than giving ourselves the best chance to win. And I'll never forget it, but when you've read some articles, how the Tigers are really hard to deal with, how Scott Harris is hard to deal with, you know what? It's biting you in the ass a little bit. Mm-hmm. Now, I have good news. I do. I'm going to play the role of your pastor today. I have good news.
You're playing the Twins? Oh, wait. That's irresistible.
No. It's not a couple of bloops and a blast. Okay. No, I have good news for you.
Okay.
Baseball's just wacky enough that a week from now, this could be forgotten. Mm-hmm. You have three against the Angels. Scooble, Charlie Morton, Casey Mize. Mm-hmm. Best go take two or three?
Well, yeah. Here's the thing, Mike. We've reached the point now that you only have a six-game lead, Scooble has to win every game. Scooble can't have a bad day.
Say that again.
Scooble has to win every game now when he goes out on the mound. It has to be a guaranteed win. He can't have a bad outing. He can't have a hangnail. He can't have anything bad happen, because if he doesn't win, you can find yourself stuck in a six, seven-game losing streak, because we just assume, well, he'll right the ship. He hits the reset button, and we start from there. Now the pressure's on. He's got to win
every game
from here on out for the final, 46 games.
You got the three against the Angels, three against the Chi Sox. You're going to have four against the Twins, three against Houston, and I'm pretty sure you finish the month with two against the Royals. If I'm wrong by one game, I'm sorry. It's off the top of my head. Forgive me. The point I'm making is September's going to be a lot more difficult on paper. Mets, Yankees, Red Sox, et cetera, et cetera. If you're not concerned now, you're not a bad person. I don't agree with you, but you're not bad. But when will you be? Yeah. And look, I'll say it again. You take five of the next seven, a lot of this gets forgotten. But you don't get to be, oh, we got it all turned around. Why? Because you drilled the Diamondbacks? You came out. You should have lost all three in Philly. You lost two of three. You could have lost all three here. You did lose two of three. And this series, I want to shout out Pat Caputo on something. It's Pat's phrase. He deserves it. They played clown ball. Mm-hmm. Rico, I know you don't want to term it laziness. Maybe that's a bad deal. Maybe unfocused would be better.
Okay.
When you're swinging at crap, when you are having what I deem to be lazy at bats, when you go and you pinch hit, they brought in, you know, Lance Funderburk or whoever the hell they brought in. The guy's got an ERA of a zillion. He sucks. He can't strike anybody out. He's infinitely hittable. And you know what the Tigers do? Righty, 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 righty. You come off the bench. Your job is to attack the strike zone. Isn't that Scott Harris's phrase?
That is.
I watched three of the worst at bats you'll ever see. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about. That's not what they do.
No, because here's the thing. I thought that the Diamondbacks losing streak was over, and it was like the get right series, but you're seeing pressing. So it's I don't think it's laziness. I think they're pressing because maybe they see the Diamondbacks series as we do. It didn't fix anything. You just got some wins, but same problems are still there with new teams.
Here's the other thing. If you want to have a conversation about the division, that's one thing. You want to have a conversation about making the playoffs, that's another. I'm not having those currently. I still think they'll get both of those things done. However, Rico's point is well taken. You're only up six. It was 15 and a half a month ago. Here's the reality. I'm interested in having the other conversation, the one where I get attacked because I want more. Mm-hmm. You know, big, big meanie Mike. Do you think this team is winning a World Series? That's the conversation I want to have. Because unlike a lot of you, I'm not interested in pounding Marlboro Reds and daiquiris. YOLO ballpark. I want to win a World Series. Okay? I'm not interested in the rest.
Look, when they were going through their losing streak and it was still like, I think they were up 10 games. I said, you dip below 7 and now you're in trouble. Well, they're below 7. They're at 6. I am very concerned because now you're a bad weekend from close to panic mode where now you look, you're already scoreboard watching Cleveland. You shouldn't be. It's August, but we are because now not only do you have to follow your team, you have to see what they're doing. A month ago, that sounded ridiculous. A month ago, we were just trying to see, okay, where are they going to be? Will they get to, you know, will they be in a 5-game series or, you know, will they get a bye? Like, we didn't know. But now, this thing, Mike, Cleveland, it may be addition by subtraction, very similar to what the Tigers did last year. When Javi was gone, all of a sudden they got better. Cleveland's minus two pitchers right now, and they are playing some great baseball. I looks like, seems like, feels like. But
I'm not yelling.
It looks like that addition by subtraction. You should be very, very concerned. We should not be scoreboard watching in August.
And early returns on the text, there's a number of people comparing this Tigers team to what the Twins did last year in that they could just collapse and fall apart out of the playoffs.
I mean, I'm not ready to.
I'm not either. I'm just saying that's what people are, I think, in panic mode.
I'll be there if the look, if I'll say it again, 3 against the Angels and your pitchers are lined up for it. 3 against the White Sox, 4 more against this nonsense AAA team you lost to. Okay. Kenny, if the next 10 games they can't scrape 6-4, then we'll have a different conversation. Is that fair?
It's fair in the same way, and you put it both ways, though, is that you said in a week from now, in 2 weeks from now, this whole conversation, this whole Cleveland thing, that, or this whole...
That could be totally different.
This whole Minnesota thing could be totally different.
Put it this way. If they're sitting at the end of this month with just a 5-6-game lead with the rest of the schedule they have coming up, I'll buy into that. You know what? Maybe you'll have a choke job.
This thing would have to be down to 3 or 4 for me to buy into it. But really? Guess what? We're splitting hairs. I don't think anyone is wrong in this. Let me be unequivocal here. If you're not panicked, I'm not mad at you. I think you could make a case. The problem I'm having is I'm the guy who thought your lineup was fake as hell at the beginning of the year. Well, now it is fake as hell. So what am I supposed to tell you? That it's going to all be okay? No, it's not. Because you have subpar ball players playing subpar ball. That's who they are. Oh, wait, Javi Baez is up there like Stevie Wonder again? Yes, he is. It's who he is. The Riley Green thing is the one thing I could sell you. He's your best ball player. He's going through a god-awful 25 games. Guess what? You play 162. Baseball's weird. Mm-hmm. But Rico, in fairness, he had a mental break yesterday. They bring him back today, 0-for-4, 3Ks. He's swinging at garbage. So I don't know what to say. The bullpen, look, as unbelievable as last year was with the Briskies and the Holtons and the Herders and whatever other nonsense they brought up here, and right. It worked.
No, it did.
We eventually said, you know what, I can't explain it. I'm just going to buy into it. Well, now all the guys that helped you last year aren't doing it. They're not here. You go out and get Canely. Maybe now you're starting to see why Canely didn't have big money offers. Why Canely wasn't attractive even to the very team he was with. Mm-hmm. It's almost like you can't survive throwing 80 straight changeups. Canely's been unpitchable. Then you go to the Holton experience. You can't pitch Tyler Holton anymore.
No.
You can't. And then you go out and look, I like Finnegan. I don't have a problem with it. Solid MLB 7th or 8th inning guy on a World Series team. He's not a big time closer.
No.
But it's Finnegan and friends. So now what am I supposed to sell the listener, brother? Sell him that Paul Sewald is going to unmummify himself and Sewald's going to save our season?
Which is how great they're going to be in 2029.
Oh, Jose Urquidy and his one arm. He'll do the trick. Look.
You didn't want to have anybody to come back and haunt you.
The other problem is this. Now, from a starting pitching standpoint, I think Rico made the best comment. You are at a point now where if you're going to play like this, Google just has to win every game. Flaherty, I don't buy into late in the year. Well, he had 2 nice performances. That was following 5 bad ones. Now, today was another bad one. Jack Flaherty, I worry about breakdown. There's a reason the Yankees didn't want him last year. It's the physical. So I got to wait and see on Flaherty. Reese Olson's dead. You get Charlie Morton. Again, Morton's first two months, I think he had a 7.5 ERA.
Wasn't that good?
And he's turned it around. Here's my problem. He's 41, 42 years old. Can I really depend on him? And that exactly. It's all fun and games. Oh, he's dotting it at 96. He's a question mark to me. Mize, up and down. The pitching doesn't look as good as we had hoped, as we thought it would be. So what do I sell you there? See, this is the problem. I can't go on the air and lie to people. Now, other people will. Don't worry. Trust me. This town's full of that. I'm not going to do it. I can't sell you the lineup's going to be mashing left and right. Do I think you will kill bad teams more often than not? Sure. Has nothing to do with winning the World Series. The starting pitching outside of Skubal, roll the dice. Mm-hmm. And the bullpen, I'm wholly unconvinced. I got to see it over a 2-3-4 week stretch because even A.J. Hinch on our airwaves today said it. There was urgency in A.J.'s voice, Rico. This is a 40-game sprint. We got to get the right people in the right spots. We got to get the right arms in the bullpen. I don't know how they get out of it because comprehensively, over the course of a month, they're not doing much well. So I'm not panicked. I'm concerned.
I'm very concerned.
And that's fine because I don't think Riley anyone Green, should attack you for that.
Your all-star Riley Green is just not. I mean, Mike, 46 games left. He strikes out 70 more times. He's going to set the record for strikeouts.
Okay, but
I'm just saying.
If you end the year with an 850 OPS, strike out 300 times. I don't care.
Okay.
I'm just saying when he used to hit it, Kenny, go ahead. You look angry. You look poised to speak.
No, I just, the way I look at this is, and maybe I'm doing this wrong, and please tell me if I am, but I'm looking at the Tigers when everything was awesome and everything is cool when you're part of a team and vibes were super high. And then I'm looking at this. I believe the truth has to be somewhere in the middle. They're not that good. They're not that bad.
That's right. And in the middle is you're probably low to mid 80 win team, 85, 86 wins.
You could win a playoff series, but to call yourself World Series good?
You mean to go out at the deadline and make Dollar Tree stuff acquisitions? Yeah, no, that's the problem. And look, even today, I was puzzled by some of this stuff. Tommy Canley, you're getting blown out. You're pitching him. What are you doing pitching Will Vest today?
Yeah, I couldn't answer that question for you. I'm like, maybe he just
needs to throw. You got the off day. Hey, fine enough. I want to throw the number up. And if you're coming home from the ballpark, you don't need to feel any type of way. But I'm asking, if you're not concerned now, what will it take for you to be? Cleveland beat the Mets today. It's down to 6 games. A month ago today, you had a 15.5 game lead. Since then, some injuries. Since then, your best ball player's unplayable. Since then, your bullpen has gone to a state of largely disrepair. So tell me what it is. And if you're not concerned now, why? And if you are concerned, how do they get out of it? That's it. Unless you want to do National Oyster Day.
That was 2 days ago.
248-539-9797. I got one for that. Where is it? You got the ticket text coming in?
Oh, yeah.
Let's start with those people. I don't care.
The Tigers are not hustling on ground balls, watching strikes, swinging at balls, landing in the bullpen. The Tigers are going full Minnesota. See, that's the second or third one of those I've got in the last 5 minutes. People, I think, are more than concerned. I think they're full panic at this point.
No, you want to know why? Here's why. Because last year at this time when the Tigers had started winning, we're like, wouldn't it be funny if they all of a sudden got... And now you experienced that. You saw what it takes to start clawing your way up there. Real recognizes real. And I think a lot of Tigers fans are looking at the Guardians saying, oh, dear God, that was us last year. And we look like we're going to be the Twins and we're just going to play our way right out of this thing. I think that's why you're seeing that, Kenny.
Are they finally starting to play to their skill level?
I think
that's a text.
I think in a lot of instances, yes. I mean, it's, again, the Riley Green thing, no. But a lot of these other guys, I mean.
Another one came in about something similar, saying Javier is turning back into Harvey, the one that we thought of.
Listen, go look at the data. The last month, Javi's hitting sub 200. He's got an OPS of sub 600. It might be sub 500. I will double check. Yeah, he's bad. Matt Vierling, I mean, congrats on the bloop. But Vierling, look, it does take time to work yourself back from injury. It does. They're men, not machines. But for Vierling, you're approaching 100 at-bats. At that point, you kind of are what you are.
But we're talking about Matt Vierling here. I mean, we saw what he did in the playoffs last year. It's just,
I understand that, but how did you get to the playoffs? Because, oh, face of franchise. You're mean for not respecting Matt Vierling. Okay, well, fine. But look, when comprehensively, when you put it together, I don't know what the outs are. They did not address some needs in a meaningful way at the deadline. This is what it is. Do I think that the bullpen can get better? Yes. The pitching kind of is what it is. What, do I think Charlie Morton's going to be substantially better than Reese Olson? No. Do I know that Mize will be the Mize early in the year pre-injury and be more consistent? I don't know it. I can hope for it. Do I know that Alex Cobb is alive? Magic 8-Ball says uncertain.
I'm not counting on him at all.
So, right. So then it's, oh, Chris Paddock's career has been over for 5 years. Oh, he was great when he debuted. How'd he look this week? He's a 5 ERA guy. Okay? He's an innings eater. So then we get to the lineup, and the lineup's my biggest concern. Overly dependent on left-handed power. They don't have a true leadoff man. Mm-hmm. Glaber's good. Riley should be really good. I have faith there. But outside of that, like, what do you think? More Jamai Jones? You know, I have an itch, and the only thing that will scratch it is more Jamai Jones. Like, no.
We need more Jamai.
More cowbell. So, guys, I don't know. I want to know what you think, okay? And if you're not concerned, cool. Tell me why. But if you are, I want you to have a way to talk about it without being attacked. Because basically in this town, you get attacked. There's a weird love affair with the Detroit Tigers. The Red Wings don't get this level of romance. The Pistons sure don't. And I tell you, the Lions don't. The Tigers are this protected species thing where now, oh, how can you say that? Because I want to win a World Series. Do I believe this team's winning a World Series the way they're playing? Absolutely not. No. And in fact, you're closer to losing the division than you are getting to a World Series. Do I believe you will lose the division? No. But I'll tell you, a week from now, and guys, I'm not being dramatic. I'm just shooting you straight. You know, you're 6-17 over your last 23. All right, if you go 2-5 your next seven, well, now you're, what, 8-22? Oh, you're talking about a 30-game rip. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got to play good ball, and if Cleveland continues to play above 500 baseball, guys, it becomes a math equation. So let's rap about it. And I don't think anyone's the villain here. Concerned, not concerned. Hey, do your thing. But let me help you with how real baseball towns handle things. You talk about stuff like this, okay? I'm not going to go get a trumpet and run around the room with my rally trumpet. We get to talk about stuff. 248-539-9797. Good?
Great.
You look great today. I love that hat. Oh, I hate the team, but I like the hat.
Oh, thank you.
It's a Niners hat, people, but it's a nice, it's an alternate logo. It's got like a gladiator theme to it. Rico put some Swarovski crystals on there. It's very garish.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Mentioned we were going to have a Riley Green conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And a listener tipped us off, and I want to know if it's a bigger deal than we've let on. I've often dismissed a lot of the Riley Green frustrations because the raw numbers, he's super productive. He's an all-star, second year in a row. Even when he didn't hit, made a couple outstanding plays in left field on Sunday.
Sure.
I really haven't dogged Riley Green. But we got a ton of texts after his performance over the weekend, 0 for 13. He struck out three times ugly last night. And I started to pop up, open the hood, and look at some of the numbers. John, he's pacing for 219 strikeouts. The record is 223. He is flirting with the most strikeouts in the history of baseball. And we know what happens. We saw it in the postseason. You don't put the ball in play. You can't advance runners. You can't put pressure. You can't use your tactful base running. Riley Green strikeouts are a bit of a problem. But also a problem is he's unplayable against lefties. His OPS is in the 500s against left-handed pitching. I mean, they may be platooning the wrong outfielder. Gary Carpenter's been more productive, small sample, against lefties.
At the plate.
Yes. Well, even defensively, they're about the same defensive run saved. Carey's got the better arm. Riley makes the diving catches. Riley, as an everydayer, doesn't have much of a case. I mean,
unless
you look at what Carpenter, like, why can't Carpenter play every day, but Riley does? When you look at the numbers, it's not early anymore. Green can't hit lefties.
Carp can't stay healthy.
Well, that might be part of it. And the listeners have also pointed out that Riley Green is not clutch, whatever that means. Well, they keep track of this stuff. And when the Tigers are trailing, he hits 198 with a 687 OPS. When the Tigers have the lead, he hits 328 with a 950 OPS.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you could always use insurance runs, but most of his damage is coming when the Tigers have already built a lead. With two outs and runners in scoring position, he's hitting 204. Late and in close situations, he's batting 135. It's like, whoa! Again, I've just kind of glossed over this. Is there a Riley Green conversation here?
Well, there's a much smaller sample size when you're talking about Gary Carpenter versus lefties. And I know his numbers are better. But
that's self-inflicted. There's only one way to get him a bigger sample against lefties is to play him
right,
more.
Right, but it's so, yes, this is a very analytical team. Scott Harris. Very analytical. A.J. Hinch, same thing, whether it's on the mound or at the plate. And it's just, it's hard, because there isn't that sample size for Kerry Carpenter to say, well, has he fixed or is he better against lefties than he has been previously? And is he better against lefties than Riley Green if he had that same opportunity?
Yeah, and again, Kerry Carpenter wasn't here during the big losing stretch. Right. He's come back, and you saw it even last night. That's a big-time home run to help swing that game. You know which games Riley didn't, or which games Kerry Carpenter didn't play over the weekend?
The games,
the two losses against lefties,
right?
Where Riley had zero hits. So I think it's an interesting conversation about what to do with Riley Green, because you're not throwing him off the roster. We're not debating whether he's getting an extension or not. It's too early for that. He's an all-star. They're going to need him. What's going on, though, if he's not delivering in clutch spots, if he doesn't deliver when you're trailing, if he doesn't deliver against lefties, should he be platooning and should Kerry Carpenter be getting more of those at-bats? Like, Riley should never DH against a lefty, right?
No, I wouldn't. The numbers wouldn't bear that out.
Wouldn't make sense. 248-539-9797.
And maybe he is an individual like they use Kerry, because they bring in Kerry, he does a lot of pinch hitting.
Yes.
When he's not in the lineup, all of a sudden, hey, you get the starter out, get a righty in there, and Kerry Carpenter comes in. Maybe that is more the path that they need to take with Riley Green as well. But then the question is, if you take Riley Green out of the lineup, who's in? Is it just simply a one-for-one swap?
Well, you could one-for-one carry and shuffle the outfield around, right?
I mean, right. But it makes it a little bit more difficult because you've got Javi in center. And if you've got Kerry in left and you've got, Kerry in right and you got Riley in left field, like, who is the other guy that you're going to put in there? Because you don't have Parker Meadows, which wasn't a great bat.
Well, especially lefty, it really wouldn't.
It wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah, it wouldn't have mattered.
I mean, I just, sitting him, look, to get his head right or his swing right, yeah, I support that. But routinely platooning him is, I think that's crazy.
How bad would it have to be? Because they've shown the precedent that, like, no one's bigger than the team. Kerry Carpenter has been a huge impact bat for this team, and he doesn't play against lefties. So where's the line? Why is Riley above that if he doesn't produce?
It's because of his defense.
But I gave you defensive run saved. He's a minus one. I get it. He makes a couple highlight plays. He's not head and shoulders metrically above Kerry Carpenter. They're different styles of outfielders.
Right, exactly. I think we're taking it too far. The problem is with the strikeouts, there's other great players in this game that have strikeouts that are 130, 132, 138. Otani's the 138. But Riley's not producing the home runs that Otani, Schwarber, and Raleigh are. And so he's costing them, especially probably 20 to 30 at bats here where he's not putting the ball in play.
Right.
And that's the killer. But I think if everybody just breaks this down and realize it's a swing, the uppercut has got to go. It's not a path for success long term, and the pitchers know it right now. And so that's why you're seeing this. And until he learns to lay off and level it out a little bit, it's not going to change. I mean, we got a text there. I'm going to steal some thunder.
Yeah.
I thought they put it perfect. You view him as a franchise player.
Yeah, that's this ticket text.
And I don't.
Him and his buddies were talking about it.
He's a very good player, but I don't view him as a cornerstone.
Right.
Because of the strikeouts. But neither is Kerry. Right.
No, I know it feels blasphemous to say Riley should be sitting against lefties because he's an everyday player and he's an all-star, but I just gave you the numbers, the cold, hard data.
I mean, the very first pitch after Carpenter's home run last night, he almost swung his helmet off. And it looked like he was, out at Oakhurst with Rieger.
Well done.
Shots across the bow.
248-539-9797. The Riley Green conversation. Ticket text. I brought up Riley Green. I said, are we platooning the wrong outfielder?
Yeah.
Carp hits lefties better than Riley. And if you say, well, they're both not very good, I'd point out, well, at least one puts the ball in play. Riley Green's right. Pacing to lead all of baseball historically in strikeouts.
Yeah, but I mean, the other reason. So if you, extrapolate the same at bats, it's not far off for where Kerry Carpenter would be as well. There's probably, 25, 30 maybe less strikeouts. So it's still, but that's baseball today.
No, it is, but he's on a completely, he's number one in baseball. It's not like, oh, he's among a bunch of guys. He's number one in strikeouts in baseball. So shouldn't Carp be getting those at-bats? Carp's 100 points better against lefties. And if you say, well, it's because he doesn't have enough of a sample size, I challenge, there's only one way to find out.
Yeah, give him more sample.
Yeah, give him more sample. I know Riley Green's an all-star, and you can't say these things out loud, but the numbers suggest the best winning formula, and that's all the Tigers care about, right, is everybody pitches in and helps the team. You grow a mustache if you have to. You may have to sit against lefties a little bit.
Well, but it's also, so there was a stretch at the beginning of the season where it was really bad for Riley Green, and then it seemed to recover. Now it's back to since, even before the All-Star break, but around the 4th of July, the month of July and now where we are in August, it has not been great for Riley Green. And it's a prolonged, quote-unquote, slump.
I do feel like, look, a slump, right, that we're being hard on a player that overall has nice numbers.
It's
okay?
The season. His OPS is under 600 for the season against lefties. It's the season strikeouts. I'm not picking out a weekend stretch or a month stretch. This is the season.
We're still talking about a player here. It's almost like neither of them should be out of the lineup. Both of them should be playing every day because they're still two of their best hitters on the team.
Yeah.
According to OPS, are both in the 820s. Riley Green's a 2-1 war. I mean, that's a solid baseball player at this time of year, and more than a solid. It's a good.
Yeah, it's a good player.
It's not great, though. And I think maybe because of the all-star tag and the fact that he started in the game, is maybe he's not that good. But, yeah, I mean, to me, you can look at all the numbers and pick them all apart you want, but everything's better if his swing's better.
Yeah.
That's where I think people should be concerned long-term.
With the swing, right. It just needs to be in the strike zone more.
Yeah, that's it.
Than the uppercut.
Texter says it's he needs to level out that uppercut swing. Exactly what you guys are saying. Texter says, I've been bringing this up since early in the year. Yeah, we're kind of dismissive early in the year because it's early in the year. Now you're in 100-plus games. Mm-hmm. Carpenter shouldn't be sitting a bench. He's a spark plug, makes better contact. He's a guy who should be batting as much as possible. If he comes in, someone has to come out. And if you're specifically looking at more lefty at-bats, that's why I brought up Green. He needs a complete swing rebuild. Sit Riley against lefties for now. Go with Perez, Vierling, Jones. Last night's game, he had 3 Ks even against a righty. Yeah, the strikeouts are constant no matter who he plays, but he does damage against righties.
Yes.
I mean, against righties, he's a problem.
Beautiful day out. Tigers are the day game today against the Twins. We're joined this morning by the Tiger manager, A.J. Hinch. A.J., good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing good, and I want to start off with this. You got a lot of arms at the trade deadline, a lot of new things to try and figure out with these guys. We'll talk about the relationships a little bit in just a moment, but how long does it take for you to figure out how you want to utilize and when you want to utilize some of those arms?
Yeah, hopefully not too long because, like, we're right in the thick of it in August, and you spend a lot of time getting to know these guys and also just looking at their track records, you know, it's so good to get them in the games and get them in their roles, and we'll sort out how we're going to use them. I mean, it's somewhat fairly obvious. Like, Charlie's going to start. Finnegan's going to be at the back end somewhere, and Montero's going to pitch probably as much, you know, kind of as good as he pitches. Like, the more he pitches well, the more he's going to get to pitch. But so I think when you turn over part of the bullpen, you know, it's time to get up and going because the games, I think we have 40-plus games left. These guys are going to all be pitching in important innings. And the faster we get them up and running and into their normal routines, the better they'll pitch.
So, Finnegan, you don't name closers, but you said back-end guy. How can he impact the bullpen as maybe the most proven piece you guys added?
Yeah. Well, first off, I'm not afraid to announce closers. I just, with where our pitching staff is and how we're constructed, I think it's important that we leave open the option that, you know, he's going to come in the seventh or he's going to come in the eighth.
Of course.
You know, Vest is going to pitch back there. Tommy Canely, we've got to get him back to, you know, the time where we all knew when he came in, like, the rally was over or the inning was over. He was an automatic out when it came to coming in the game. Tyler Holton. So, I think for me, like, I fall into the same sort of habit that I use the guys in a similar way. Finnegan's going to get a lot of closing opportunities. I just don't want his mentality that it's this big change if all of a sudden we need him in the seventh with the bases loaded and he's the best option. So it's a little bit of how to manage your team, not so much roles, but I think he and Vest are going to get the last out the most.
You've got a history with Charlie Morton and a relationship with him. How do you envision or how can he best impact this rotation that you've been able to put together?
Yeah. Like six innings like you did the other night.
That would be great every time.
Like sort of vintage Charlie Morton with spin, velo, sort of defying the age. You know, he's still, the ball's moving well. His body's moving great. So, like, that's stable start. If we get that guy, he can impact us in a ton of different ways. I do think his presence matters. I mean, I love this guy. My history with him is is well documented, but I believe in the person, and if we get that kind of production, which has been how he's pitched for 10 or 11 starts prior to the deadline, you know, that stable part, when we lose Reese Olson, you know, obviously we've had a couple starters, you know, have trouble getting deeper into the game. It's, you know, it's nice to have that presence of the guy that's been there, done that. He did not even blink whenever, you know, he was in trouble the other night on Sunday Night Baseball. And that comes with experience, and he can handle it.
How does that, the individual that he is, not just the pitcher, but the individual and the experience, how can that impact some of the younger pitchers on your pitching staff?
Yeah, I think just the steady approach. I mean, listen, he walked in with 18 years of Major League service. So, you know, that alone, I think, will get everybody's attention. When they put up that stat the other day where he was making his 400th start, and it's, you know, Scherzer, Kershaw, and Verlander. Like, that's pretty good test of time. It doesn't mean he's been, you know, necessarily as great as all of those throughout the years. He's battled some injuries. He's had a little bit of inconsistency. But the last 18 years, you know what you're doing. And as long as that breaking ball is playing the way that it's played for, you know, let's call it the last month and a half and into his first start as a Tiger, like, that is a good pitch. That's a weapon against some of the better hitters around the league, and it's why we acquired him, is because he has something to offer to help us win.
Talking to Tiger manager AJ Hinch, the deadline overall felt like more reclamation projects than proven commodities. Some of that philosophy you guys have, Chris Fetter, do you feel like you have enough arms right now to make the run deep into October?
Yeah, I think we have a lot of arms. You know, I think it's always interesting, the emotions that come, you know, with the deadline. Our team, you know, really did handle the unknown pretty well. I mean, I think there was a lot of talk and a lot of curiosity leading into it. It was the first time that this group has ever been around a team that's trying to add pieces, regardless of what those pieces are or where they're going to play. So that was a new experience for our guys. But when you look at, as we get healthy, I think that's going to be super key. Like, you know, Paul Sewald is pitching the World Series. Jose Urquidy is pitching the World Series. Like, those are names that aren't necessarily at the top of people's lists of waiting for them to come back, but they're key pieces for to get to the finish line of a game and get to the finish line of a season. So, you know, obviously our team super excited to get to know a lot of these guys. I mean, it's the way the deadline's covered, I think, just brings a lot of passion and a lot of anxiety and a lot of curiosity and a lot of answers from the outside. And that our job now is to get this group to back being a team. We've won, what is it? What, 5 of 8? After going through a section of games that I don't really want to talk about anymore, like, it wasn't fun. But I think this team, you know, knows we're in a position, you know, to win this division and get into the playoffs and go deep into October. We got to handle what we're doing now. We got a lot to do to get to there, and the opportunity is right in front of us.
On the offensive side of things, Riley Green, it's been a tough 3 or 4 weeks. The ratio at the rate that he is striking out has been a topic for us. How concerning is that for you? And is there anything that he can do to correct that?
Yeah. Well, concerning is a tough word. I mean, obviously, I don't want this guy swinging and missing. I don't want him punching out. I mean, the concerning part is because it doesn't have to be part of his game. Like, when we look at Riley Green and his impact over the course of the year, and you look up at the scoreboard, if we didn't list the strikeouts, you'd be like, man, this guy's having an incredible season. All-star, you know, big production, hit in the middle of the order. And then the strikeouts creep up. You know, I didn't really see it coming to this extent. He's going to be better for it. I've seen players in my time who have gone through these stretches of, you know, whether it's selling out for power or whether it's getting a little bit into swing mode. And, you know, when the team was struggling, he's trying to do a little too much because he knows he's the center part of our lineup. All those things kind of hit him, and he's had a really hard time getting out of it. So I think he will. He's too talented and too good of a hitter not to. And we've tried to get him to kind of take a deep breath. Yesterday, I gave him a full day off. I mean, I was going to use him in the ninth inning if he was part of the, like, a tying run type thing. So I obviously still want him a huge part of this. But the mental break yesterday, I'm hoping, you know, will lead to him just ball and play moving forward. And then when he does that, you know, he'll hit it to the 20th row, you know, or he'll hit an opposite field ball that continues to carry out of the ballpark. So we need Riley Green. He knows that. Right now, it's been a little rough.
Beyond just the last 3 weeks or so, lefties have really eaten him up this season. You guys are big on matchups. Would you be in favor of not a full platoon necessarily, but giving him more off days against lefties? Would you be in favor of giving Karp some of those at-bats? Because, again, he's hitting right now and not striking out at the same clip.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think those are all fair questions, and I will see how it plays out. I think that we face Kikuchi this weekend against the Angels. They'll both probably be out of the lineup on that Sunday, but I think you're always kind of paying attention to what it does to your lineup and what that advantage is to having either guy off. The one thing that Riley has consistently given us is defense, you know, and I think that's the part. Karp, I've had a hard time keeping him on the field. So, like, there's other things other than the one at bat against lefties that I have to weigh, but we'll see how it plays out. It's all about the group that I have on the bench and the confidence we have that they're the better matchup at the beginning of the game, and then finding Karp at bat in there or finding Riley in at bat off the bench, kind of see how it plays out.
I know you don't want to necessarily talk about the 12 of 13. We won't go there, but
you're really going to bring it up, John?
No, but part of, or at least part of the timeline that matches up is Kerry Carpenter is back in the lineup. And how impactful, what does he mean to this team of just simply being available to be in the lineup?
It matters a lot, and it matters because of the presence he has, specifically when he stays in the strike zone. Like, last night's at bats were pretty good. The last couple nights where they're 4 and 5 and 6 pitch at bats, he's not chasing. You know, he gets into swing mode a little bit. He's always one swing away. And what I notice is just how differently the other manager manages against our team. And sometimes I stack Riley and Karp. Today I'm not. I'm putting Torque in between them. But I think it's important because he's the guy they circle, because he knows, like, you know, we can separate like we did the other day. We can come from behind if all of a sudden, you know, he gets a good pitch to hit. And that second and third time through, I rarely see their bullpen quiet. And a lot of that centers around Kerry Carpenter. And a good example is the Twins have one left-handed pitcher in the bullpen, and they have to deploy him at the right time. We know that's going to be Colt, Karp, or Riley. Karp being in the middle of that, if they go after Colt, it takes them some time to get to Karp. If they wait and go to Greeny, Karp gets a bunch of right-handed at-bats. So he puts so much pressure on decisions on the other side.
Multi-hit day for Vierling yesterday. Are you hoping, hey, it's going to start to wake up here?
Yeah, we need him. You know, we need him. And obviously had some couple tough plays in center field that he was pretty bothered by last night. And you know, I think – you know, he was late to the season, but we got to get him going and get him playing. I mean, part of my confidence, you know, having the left-handed bats on the bench is the emergence of the right-handed bats. I think Jermai Jones has done a really good job against left-handed pitching. Andy came back up, has had his moments against left-handed pitching. Vierling seems to be a really key for us to be a strong player against left-handed pitching, because that's how our team operates. It's also how the other team attacks us. So, hopefully last night will give him a little bit of boost of energy and confidence that we know he can impact this team.
Well, that's part of the bet, right? Scott Harris talked about the moves we make and don't make are bets on guys. Not adding a bat is a bet on Vierling, essentially, right, among other guys.
Yeah, among other guys. I think the whole group together really does function. You know, what's really interesting, when you play against us, and I have a lot of friends that are managers and around the league, and at different times during this year, We have been an incredibly hard team to play, because we have strength on your weakness and we're able to match up and do a lot of different things. There's other times where collectively we've been quiet and we haven't found those strengths, and those are the days that we don't score. So it's much different whenever we're not maximizing our strengths and we have a hole somewhere where you just don't feel like good at bats are coming. But I do go back to better times where we've been a little bit more consistent. Teams don't love playing us when we've got guys, you know, playing at the level in which they should, and we end up in the better position with the matchup.
We just had a topic about the increase in ratings when the Tigers are on Sunday Night Baseball. Obviously, if Scooble's starting, we know everybody wants to watch him because he's the best pitcher on the planet. What do you see as the attraction of why everybody wants to get a view of what you guys are doing on the field?
Well, I think we're a likable team. You know, I think when you see, you know, Detroit and you see the emergence last season, we were a big story. We've been in first place for the majority of this season. And obviously, I think we've got some good personalities that have started to get recognized around the league. I mean, when you have six All-Stars, that's seven if you count the bad boy. Like, it's pretty good to have our brand, you know, kind of out in the national spotlight. You know, the games that we have played on Sunday Night Baseball have been pretty good games. Maybe that's attractive, but I think there's some curiosity on what we're doing, how we're doing it, and what's next for us. Led by Tarek Skubal, obviously, who's, you know, arguably the biggest name on the pitching side of the game.
He's AJ Hinch. I know it's one game at a time. I sense a little more urgency as we're getting down to it here. It's good to catch up.
40-plus games. We got a sprint race here, so you're right. It's time to go.
Appreciate it, AJ. Thanks.
You got it.
It's 97.1.
You remember the Who's Your Tiger campaign? They used to do this. Heather, you remember? You're at the ballpark all those years.
Oh, I remember. That was always a question I asked the fans.
Yeah. Who's your tiger? And what kind of answers would you get?
Well, the kids would say paws, which is always cute. And I remember one kid, this was during Verlander's days, was called him Justin Timber. It was like Justin it was confusing with Justin Timberlake and Justin Verlander, and it was the cutest thing.
Timberlander?
Something. It was something. Oh, that's what it was. Justin Timberland. It was adorable. I'm thinking of all the kids. I love the kids.
Yes. But you'd get people who would say, JV must see JV, or Miggy's my guy, yeah. Prince Fielder eating the nachos, whoever. Brandon Inge had a cult-like following. Who's your tiger? And it evokes these joyful memories. We want to know from you guys, not who your favorite tiger is. Who's your tiger to fix what ails this team right now? And we understand it's every single position group. It's pitching, both starting and relieving. It's getting a big at-bat from a big guy. But if, John, we ask you to come up with one, start with just one, and we'll get to a bunch more.
Let's remember that we said one.
One.
Mr. Cookies.
Tiger. To fix this, who's your tiger?
I'm going to go with the most obvious. It's the all-star for 2 years. It's Riley Green. He just needs to be more consistent. And I know we enjoy the fact that he's leading the team in home runs and he's got the OPS over the course of the season, but that needs to be him in the month of August, September, and October. And you can have these, you know, ups and downs, but when you get to the most important time of the year, and for baseball, it is definitely late August, September, and October, you need to be the all-star. You need to be the guy that gets up there, and hey, if a pitcher has a no-hitter going into the fourth inning, you're up at plate, it's the second time you see him, you got to rake. It's starting off in that first inning of just simply getting on base, making contact, and if it's a single, that's fine. Like, don't always worry about the long ball, hitting the home run. It could be a sac fly. Like, making contact, don't strike out when there's somebody on third base.
I mean, AJ both called him and the team out about that. Stop swinging for the fences. And those are uncompetitive at-bats when you strike out as often as Riley Green does.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I'm going to go Matt Vierling.
Okay.
He's not at 100 at-bats yet. He's a righty that they need a righty to step up. They didn't trade for one. Fine. Okay, fine. You've got McDonald's at home. It's got to be Vierling. He has to step up. He can play outfield. He can play infield. He is one of these demons on the base paths, and he does make their lineup longer. He can bat near the top of the order when he's actually clicking.
Mm-hmm.
Vierling's the tiger that has to step up. Tom, who's your tiger?
Sorry. Casey Mize. I think it's him. Look, Riley Green has to be an all-star, okay? But beyond Green, Casey Mize needs to be the two. You have to have a two emerge, and I think he's the best candidate. He's got the best numbers of the other guys, and he hasn't been good in July. And you've got to have another starter step up and save this bullpen to not being used so much. Like, that's the key to me. If he can pitch, he doesn't need to pitch like he did in Cleveland. That was his last really good start about a month ago. That was elite, okay? I don't need him to be elite, but I need to be a number two. Be the guy you drafted.
Right, and it's not have the lapse, because if you look at the last start, for 66 pitches or 65 pitches, he was actually really good. But you have these lapses where the splitter hangs up there and then it's, you know, 20 rows deep in left field. Like, you can't have those three pitches where all of a sudden, hey, thankfully nobody was on base. They were able to end up to win that game. But if there's somebody on base, now all of a sudden it's a two-run shot. It's a three-run shot. And you can't come back from that.
Tom said help the bullpen with a starter. Honorable mention would be Holton in that bullpen.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he's kind of the flex piece they could use as an opener in a playoff game. They could use him sixth, seventh, bulk guy, lefty. Holton was so good last year, has not been that guy this year. Ticket texters. Who's your Tiger? Javi Baez. He needs to be the fix. Yeah, he's been brutal since the start of July.
Yeah.
If Torque can get red hot again, he would help fix things. That's the Tiger. Riley Green has to be my Tiger. He's the one that can get him out of this slump and start winning again. They started losing when he really took a nosedive. Who's my Tiger? Torkelson. That's Ben in Whitmore Lake. Finnegan and Vest is a 1-2 punch, need to be locked down. Finnegan is the most underrated trade they made. That's my Tiger. My Tiger is Cookies. If he would rescind his guarantee, the Tigers will win this division. I don't know if he needs to consult with Jobu, Major League reference,
yes,
but needs to do something. Something must be done. Phil in Detroit. Let's get to Jason in Royal Oak. Jason, who's your Tiger?
Hey, guys. Jack Flaherty is my Tiger that we need to fix. I don't know if anyone said that yet, but we are going to totally need him in the playoffs. It's imperative. And I was hoping that he was already fixed after, like, what, his last three starts, but not his last start, you know? His last start was terrible, and I'm very concerned if we don't have Jack Flaherty at least at, like, 75% of how he used to be able to perform, things are going to be bad. Take care. Go Tigers. Bye.
Thanks, Jason. It's the same argument with Mize. It could be Flaherty. Someone's got to be that number two.
Yeah. And you have to have – okay, if you're going to pencil in a win for – Scooble.
Yeah.
If,
better be tonight.
Yeah. But you got to have that second and even third guy. So I normally wouldn't say I would agree with Tom with Mize for a pitcher because it's only one every 5 days, but you got to pair somebody with Scooble. Flaherty, same thing.
Becomes two, two becomes three, and now all of a sudden you're in a much better spot.
And just before we get the news, I will say in regards to Torque heating up, like his month of July, he's batting 270.
He's actually hit pretty well.
In the month of August to this point, 290.
Yeah, he's in pretty well.
And so that's the path that you want to see these other guys, because you go back to the beginning of the season and in April, he hit 213. In May, 237. It's going the right direction. June was a tough month at 207. But then when you need him the most, 270, 292 through August, like that's where the path that you need to see Veerling, Green, all of these guys follow.
One more text, Chris Fetter.
Yeah, that could be.
Unlock a whole bunch of these dudes.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music
or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
So the Twitter poll closed. Usually I have it closed near the end of the show, but for some reason I did it early today. Got a little careless. This is one of the closest votes we've had. Tigers drop a series to the Twins. Call your shot right near now. Are the Tigers going to collapse and lose the division? Your choices are yes, they will blow this. No, they will rebound. Yes, they will blow this. 50.4%. No, they will rebound. 49.6%. So, look, 1 year ago today, we don't have to look far for a team that collapsed and cost themselves a playoff berth. 1 year ago today, the Minnesota Twins were 14 games over 500. They're 63-49. The Tigers are 66-50. 1 year ago today, the Tigers were 10 games behind the Twins. The Twins down the stretch in the last 50 games went 19-31. The Tigers had 48 games remaining, and the Tigers went 32-16. And they basically took the Twins' playoff spot. So here are the Tigers 1 year later. Now the Tigers are the hunted. And maybe the Tigers are the team that is plummeting. And the Tigers are 66-50. Now, I haven't gone back and done the math on it, but we keep getting these texts. You know, since June 1st, they're 500. If the Tigers go 500 the rest of the way, the team that's chasing him, Cleveland, has to play white-hot baseball to pass them.
Mm-hmm.
Tigers have 46 games left. Cleveland has 48 games left. And they would have to win 30 games, so they have to go 30-18. And the Tigers, if the Tigers go 500
for a tie,
no, it's to pass them. If the Tigers
is that to pass them,
yeah, because that'd be seven games. That's seven more wins than the Tigers would have, right? And play the same number of games. If the Tigers go 23-23, the Tigers will finish with 89 wins.
Does Cleveland have 48 games left? I think.
Yeah, they have more games. So what'd I say, 30-18? Obviously, they'd have to stay very, very hot. And, I mean, it's not impossible. But they'd have to go 31-17. Okay, 31-17 would get them to 90 wins, which would pass the Tigers. It's not impossible. But, you know, playing 500 is not what you want to be for the last 3 months of the season.
No, it's not. And that's, like, I don't worry about Cleveland. I worry about the Tigers. Can the Tigers play better than 500 ball? Because if the Tigers playing better than 500 ball, it makes it almost impossible for Cleveland.
Yep.
So I'm not going to worry about them. I'm worried about what this team is doing. If this team is going to play 500 baseball or slightly below 500 baseball, that's not a good recipe. And certainly you don't want to play that way going into the playoffs anyway, even if you were to make the playoffs. But like we've said the last couple of days, I think the roster is going to look completely different when we get into September than what it looks right now.
Yeah, I mean, look, we talked about it yesterday. There might be 9-10 guys who aren't here now that could be on this roster in September. When you start counting the starting pitchers, the bullpen arms, you know, is
some offensive replacements.
Yeah, you could have Howie Lee might get called up. Parker Meadows could get healthy and get back.
Chase Young,
Trey Sweeney, Justin Henry Malloy. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, Sweeney had a day yesterday in the doubleheader.
Did he?
He had like six hits in the doubleheader, including a couple home runs in one of the games.
Well, as they search for answers, they might be looking, who's going to be the new Parker Meadows? Is Chase Young or Trey Sweeney going to be this year's Parker Meadows?
Or is it just Jamai Jones getting more opportunities.
Wentzel or is Paris. It Parker Meadows?
Yeah, or is it? Or is
I mean,
it,
I guess Parker Meadows has to. Parker Meadows. Because he didn't get sent down, but he's rehabbing. He may have to go down.
Yeah.
But anyway, but people don't think they're going to win this division. Now, here's something to keep in mind. Cleveland is 14-1 to win the division. Out of all the second place teams in baseball, they are the biggest long shot to win a division. 14-1. Vegas still siding heavily with Detroit. Clearly, Detroit is not confident in their baseball team right now. Do you think that fact is reassuring to anyone that Cleveland's still 14-1 to win the division?
I think it's nice to remind people that that's what it is, because that's how daunting the task is. Not that it can't be done, because we saw the Tigers do it last year. But it's it ain't going to be easy to do.
No, and it almost feels like the Tigers would have to help them. The good news about the 46 games left is that's a lot of games to get yourself right. Right? I mean, that's a lot of games to turn this thing around. AJ, that soundbite from AJ that was played during the update, he did not sound confident. And I don't mean, maybe confident's not the word. He sounded like he was taking this very seriously. When he made just some blank, flat comment. We just need to worry about ourselves, right?
Yes.
And I'm glad he's taking it seriously. But one of the reasons why I'm concerned, I'm worried, I don't love the way they're playing, but I still like them to win the division and get their act together before this year is done, is I have a core principle that they're being run by smart coaches. I think AJ is a very good manager. I think Chris Fetter has done an exceptionally good job with the pitchers. Not lately, okay? Like, if anybody wants to call up and argue, are you crazy? Have you seen this? Have you seen this team play lately? I'm not going to make the argument that they look the same, but we know that there's a better team in there, and they were able to bring it out. Last year, they took a roster that looked short of being a playoff roster to a playoff bid and won a series. This year, going into the season, I don't think anybody said the Tigers have the best roster in baseball, and they spent 4 months acting like they were the best team in baseball. So there's an in between the best record in baseball and what they are now that's still good enough to make some noise in the postseason, in my opinion.
I don't think they need that slump buster necessarily, because I feel like if that's the case, then they already had that. They had that when they played Arizona, and they didn't get back on track. They beat Arizona, but then go into Philadelphia, lose 2 out of 3 to Philly, and then come back home and lose 2 out of 3 to Minnesota. They just need to play better baseball overall and be this. I don't know how they get this confidence back, but it looks like, I mean, different team at the plate for sure. These guys look, a lot of the guys, not all the guys. I mean, Spencer Torkelson's been hitting well. Carpenter's hitting well. Perez is hitting well. But I think it's clear that Riley Green looks different, that Javi Baez looks different, and other players in this team look different as well. They need a lift, but it's not going to come. I don't think it's one player that gives them a lift. Like Matt Vierling starting to hit a little bit. I don't think it's up to Matt Vierling. It's up to Riley Green and Javi Baez to get back. And Green's got the track record. Baez, you know, people are a little more skeptical about, and rightfully so, because he hasn't been good with the Tigers until the first half of this year. But I mean, he had a strikeout the other day, not yesterday's game, the game before, where it was a pitch that was 2 feet outside. And he just, and the catcher's lined up.
He's all up in his own head.
Yeah, the catcher was lined up outside of the strike zone, not his glove. The catcher was, and he still swung at it. And I'm sure he goes back and looks at it in the bat like that, and says, what the hell was I thinking? This guy's got to clear the mechanism and get back at it starting tomorrow night.
248-539-9797. Phone calls, feedback. It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket.
3 o'clock. Good to have you with us. Turn our attention to the Tigers. And again, I think time is helpful. Yesterday, look, there was a lot of anger. A lot of you guys were angry. You called up Doug and Scott. You put them in a bad mood, which takes a lot. But we're here for it. You can bring all the vitriol to 2-6. But I want to know, now that 24 hours has gone by, it's an embarrassing series against the Twins.
It's also very concerning to lose 16 of 23. You do have 10 games coming up against really bad baseball teams. The Angels are bad. The White Sox are worse. And the Twins, in their current form, on paper, are worse than the White Sox. The point I make is this. As you sit here today, let's do this in a DEFCON level.
Okay.
One being wartime readiness. Like it is. DEFCON 1 means you think you're the Twins from last year. The ship's going down, Bobby Ross style. Womp, womp, womp. Like DEFCON 1 is you think you're the Twins last year. That you're worried about winning the division. You're worried about missing the playoffs. DEFCON 2 would be a step back from that. We're still going to make the playoffs. I still think we'll win the division. But the World Series talk is out the door. Or DEFCON 3 in this case. Because I don't want to do 5 choices. DEFCON 3 is BAU. Business as usual. Speed bump. I trust the process.
This is baseball.
This is baseball. Division is in no danger. Playoffs, no danger. And I still believe we got a real opportunity to make the World Series. So which DEFCON level of concern are you? Now, I think the vast majority of people will be DEFCON 2. They're still going to win the division. I am nervous. But I've let go of any conversation about a World Series.
Yeah. I'm at DEFCON 2, Mike, but I am so close to being at DEFCON 1. And it's one of those, they're at 6 games now. If this thing falls below 5, that's when I think I'm going to go DEFCON 1. Because if you take the step back and you really look at it, outside from Skubal, who do you really feel confident in on this team that can correct this and get them back to where they want to go? And problem is he only pitches 4 or 5 games. So, you know, close to 75-80% of the time, he's not going to be there to help you. That's where I'm teetering that you dip below 5 and I'm going 1. Right now, it's a very weak DEFCON 2.
I think when you ask the question about who can stop it, it's not going to be any one person. Flaherty's been up and down. Obviously, Reese Olson out, Charlie Morton in. I mean, Morton, certainly. Let's just draw a line through the first 2 months of the year. He's about a 4 ERA guy. Can I depend on that moving forward? I don't know. I choose not to. He still has good stuff. He could still get it up there at 96. The curveball looks good. Mize is up and down. No, I can't answer that. I wish I could.
Right, and that's
The Chris Paddock thing's hilarious to me. Everybody was touching their Lincoln log.
But when he first got here,
Chris Paddock has never been good. This idea that he returned to being good is a wild concept. He's a 5 ERA nothing. Oh, well, he pitched well in one start. What happened the next time out? His former team just all over the place.
Right, because the problem is if it does dip below 5 games, that's where I wonder about the mental aspect, because that's where AJ has to step in and just, you know, really get these guys to stop pressing. Okay, guys, just play within yourselves, because right now I just see a bunch of people trying to be that guy to fix this rather than just early in the season, everybody was happy with their roles. Now everybody wants to be the person that fixes this team.
Look, Dylan Dingler, I'm not going to come down on the guy. I don't really like player comments. I don't really put a lot of stock into him. But the idea of, no, man, you know, no one's really pressing, just focused on us. You know we haven't played well or last week or the week prior. Would I like to, as a fan, hear more urgency? Yeah, I guess so. What does it mean? Probably nothing. I think they all understand in that clubhouse what's going on here. You had a 15.5 game lead, and in 24 games, it's down to 6.
See, but I think, Mike, I've covered enough sports, and you have. When you start saying, hey, nobody's pressing, that normally means
you're pressing. It's like when Kenny says, I'm not racist, but 248-539-9797. I want to hear from you guys. What state of concern are you in? 3 is business as usual. 2 is this is getting really scary, and they may blow this. DEFCON 1 is a place I don't think anyone should be today.
There was a lot of people DEFCON 1, ticket text-wise, talking to Kenny pre-show. He was just like, there are a lot of people saying, we're going to be the Twins of last year.
Well, I want to know what the hell happened to Gator. Yesterday, he was up there like King Tut at Gate A, going, oh, one loss, guess season's over. And then he comes in today and he goes, oh, I have concerns. What the hell happened in 24 hours?
The DEFCON meter moved, man.
Jeez.
You went to six games. Wait. And then you realize, wait, they closed in nine games in 30 days?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I think the bigger concern for this baseball team is they're a 500 team over a 60-game sample.
Yeah, and I also think Gator's concern because like you and like a lot of people, I don't want to single you out, but you just figured you're going to win this series against the Twins because it's the Twins.
Oh, single me out. I did, and I got it wrong.
You're not the only one who felt that way. And you're like, well, good God, they're minus 10 players. Like they really don't have a bullpen, and you still managed to lose to them at home? Wow. So yeah. I think that's where Gator, because at the time he was saying that, you know, it was like, oh, well, we'll win the next two games, but you didn't. And now the concern kicked in. 248-539-9797.
Yes, Kenny.
No, I'm with you guys. I think I'm at a two. I'm not. There's a lot of people early return on the ticket text that are at one. Some people said zero, which I didn't think was an option, but that's where some people are. They're freaking
zero
out.
Zero would be the season's already over and the body's been buried.
They've checked out. They're betting on you Cleveland to win that. The division. I mean, it's done. To some people, it is completely over, and there's no coming back from this.
I think that's ridiculous.
I do, too. But also draw parallels of like, all right, look at, and it's not fair to do this because it was a historic thing that happened last year with the Tigers. But the parallels are similar in that, oh, there's no shot that this team catches up to this team. This team has to fall apart and collapse. This team is falling apart and collapsing before our eyes right
okay,
now.
Okay, so let me do this. If you're one of these people doing DEFCON 1, the Twins finished the season 12-27. Okay? We talk about the Tigers, and they've lost 16-23. All right? So you're 7-16. 12-27 means they're going to have to continue to struggle over the next 10-plus games against these awful teams. Now, at the end of this 10-game run, let's say they went 3-7. It's unthinkable, but 3-7.
Okay.
Now, when you sit there, you go, okay, I am, what, 10-23 over my last 33 games. 13 games below 500. You know, I need to see these 10 games play out before we go there. Because what happened last year was you played 700 baseball and the Twins couldn't win a game. They have to snap out of this. I guess the reason I look at the next 10 games, Rico, if the next 10 games you struggle, then you're just not very good for a myriad of reasons. Now, I'm not predicting it. I do believe they'll go 6-4. I grind through this,
right.
Stabilize. Like if you go 6-4, okay, Cleveland goes 7-3 and they pick up a whopping one game. You're okay. You're basically into September with a 5-game lead. I'm not telling you it's comfortable as 15.5, but if the next 10 games go badly, I'll be with you and I'll be with the ticket texters. If they do something stupid over the next 10 days and lose 7 out of 10, and now all of a sudden, you're sitting there going, wait a minute now. Let's start doing the math on this deal.
But you do that, the collar starts getting tight. They start scoreboard watching whether they want to admit it or not. Hey, what did Cleveland do? What's Cleveland doing right now? That's going to be the whispers in the dugout. That's not a good thing. Because earlier this year, it was, we got this. Now it's, okay, let's hold on to this.
We'll hear from the people next. And yes, ticket text as well. But what is your concern level? And we just did the DEFCON rating for fun and simplicity. I just can't panic yet. And I do, God, I believe the next 10 games will turn it around because thank God you're playing these teams. Seriously, Rico, come on. You know they could have a 10-game run that'd be really scary. Imagine if Cleveland was staring you down Friday night.
Once again, I think it's at DEFCON 1 to some people because you just played a really bad team. Got swept.
Yeah, they'll fix it, maybe.
Things.
Get some Tiger stuff here in a moment. Feels like Detroit's frayed Major League Baseball team nerves need a win tonight. Talk about the fan base.
They do.
Exposed nerves.
Do another shot?
Sure.
You took two shots.
Yeah, but it, I mean, it's a tiny hole in a recycling bin.
Come on, man.
It's a tiny hole in a recycling bin that I'm trying to fire this paper across the...
That's woefully short.
There it is. Too much.
Tried to bank it in.
I did try and bank it in. We have a recycling bin on the other side of the room, and I missed.
You're 0 for 4.
I missed bad. Yeah, I mean, look, this is not a high percentage play here.
No, it's not. But I mean, it's you know what it's like? Andre Drummond shooting free throws. You know, when you're 7'1", not everything is proportionate like it is for somebody who's 6 feet tall, right?
Yep.
So that I feel like that's the same thing for you.
Trying to throw paper away in the recycling bin.
Gripping a wadded up piece of paper, trying to throw it into the small opening.
Yeah, well, I failed. All right, so the place in the state of Michigan, the list I found off MSN's website, legendary road trips, road trip you make for food in every state.
Can I guess?
Sure.
What's the place up north where they have the fried chicken? Although I could say Zender. Is it Zender's?
Zender's in Frankenmuth. Frankenmuth is pretty famous, yes.
The Dam Site Inn.
It is not the Dam Site.
Okay.
Although a good place to road trip. Kang, you want to offer up a guess?
Something with pasties.
That's a good call.
No. Yeah. I don't even know if I ever had one, but I just see, I know it's a Michigan thing, and I see, you know, that people will travel. I think, is it the UP?
It's a UP thing. Yeah. Okay. It was for like truckers would go on long trips, and they would have basically a meat pie or some kind of a handheld.
I feel like that's something that people would road trip for.
Yeah. Jansen always talks about Clyde's, which is just a drive-in on the far side of the bridge in the Upper Peninsula. That probably would get some love. It is Zingerman's Deli in Ann Arbor.
Okay.
Which is where we had our reception, our rehearsal dinner. After we did the rehearsal, we went to Zingerman's and everybody got sandwiches. That was before they had the Roadhouse, which is more of a restaurant. But Zingerman's is great.
I went to the Roadhouse for my friend Rob's wedding reception.
It's also very good, very different. Like one place is straight up deli sandwiches, although there's more there, but the other's a sit-down restaurant.
This was a sit-down restaurant. Yep. Lots of beer.
Was there a lot of beer?
Yeah. Did a lot of that. Good times.
Did you had a good time?
It was a really nice wedding. The wedding itself was outside at the gardens in Ann Arbor. I forget which botanical gardens they were. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
And then there you go.
All right. So, look, I saw a lot of people doing this, and I decided I would take the 10 World Series favorites. Okay, these are the 10 teams on FanDuel that have the best odds to win the World Series in order. The favorites are Dodgers, Phillies are second, Tigers third, Seattle fourth, Milwaukee fifth, Astros sixth, Toronto seven, Yankees eight, Mets nine, Cubs 10. Those are the teams in terms of their odds. I didn't write down their odds. I suppose
still
what? Well, Tigers are still third, yes.
Wow. But I didn't think they had a chance.
Well, look, obviously there's a wide variety of opinions of what our baseball team is. In Vegas, there's still some love.
If they keep playing like they are, it's not going to be. But
Tigers are 10-1. Dodgers are the favorite at plus 250, right? So 2.5-1. Phillies are plus 750, so 7.5-1. But anyway, have you looked at all of those teams' records the last 30 games?
I have not, and I was going to say the only team that might be impressive would be Toronto, but they went on a losing skid after they had this huge winning skid. Winning skid? Winning streak. Winning stretch. So I think they're all kind of mediocre, be my guess.
7 of the 10 have been extraordinarily mediocre. 3 have been hot. The top 10 World Series contenders put together by FanDuel, the favorite is the Dodgers. The last 30 games, they're 14-16. The second favorite is the Phillies. They're 16-14. Then the Tigers, who are 13-17. Seattle's one of the teams that's been hot.
Yep.
18-12. Then Milwaukee has been 22-8.
Yeah, Milwaukee's gone on a tear. They added Vaughn, and things have really taken off for them.
The Astros are the sixth favorite. They're 14-16 their last 30. You mentioned Toronto. They're 20-10 their last 30. The Yankees are 12-18 their last 30. They've gone from 17 games over to 10 games over. The Mets are the ninth favorite. They're 15-15 their last 30. The Cubs are the 10th favorite. They're 16-14. So there's three teams that are kind of hot, Seattle, Milwaukee, and Toronto. Everybody else combined is 10 games under 500.
Toronto, Milwaukee, really hot.
Yep. And so what does this mean for us? Well, the truth is you're just trying to be the best team amongst your peers, and it starts with the American League. There's a lot of teams that are competing that have World Series odds, like the Yankees, who have been struggling. They're six games below 500. They've been worse than the Tigers the last 30. Also struggling, the Astros. They lead their division, but they've been below 500 their last 30. Now, there's teams that aren't, right? I mean, let's face it. The Toronto has been white hot, and they've
now they have the best record in the American League.
Yep,
so by two games over the Tigers.
And Seattle's been pretty hot.
Seattle's been very hot, and they have 63 wins. They trail Toronto by 5 wins.
The point is that outside of the three teams, the one in the National League, Milwaukee, and the two in the American League, Toronto and Seattle, nobody who's really contending has been exceptionally hot. And look, the Tigers, if they keep playing like this, it's all moot point. They're not doing anything. And it's whether or not they can pull out of it. There's a lot of teams that are trying to pull out of recent bouts of average play or average results. And I'm okay with them. I'm glad they're slumping now and not in September or October, right?
Yes.
And, you know, get it out of the way. It was really, really cool to have a stress-free first half. They really had a stress-free first half. But now it's time to, you know, definitely time to put some stuff together. I hope that the day off helped. I hope a Scooble start will help guys get their confidence back. I said it yesterday. Nobody needs a 3-for-4 night as much as Riley Green needs a 3-for-4 night. We know that there's a better hitter in there. The morning show did this topic. If they're going to pull out of this, who is the player that you think will lead the way, that is capable of and will pull out of it? I mean, is it just simply as Riley Green, or is there somebody else that you think? Because we had a guy call earlier and just talk about Charlie Morton.
Right. And I mean, I don't think it's going to, I mean, a starting pitcher is going to pitch 1 out of 5 days. So yep. I would have to go with an everyday lineup guy. And who are the everyday lineup guys going to play every day? It doesn't matter if it's right-handed or left-handed. You've got Riley Green, Spencer Torkelson. Is Wenzel Perez in that group now where he's playing? Because he's a switch hitter. He can play against no matter what you throw at him, and he's hitting.
Yeah, he's like two guys.
So I think it's a small group of players that you can pick from, and it might just be Riley Green. You know, because Riley Green was so good in the first 100 games. So good. That it can't ignore that sample size and just understand that hopefully what he's going through now is a slump. 1-for-21, his last 21 is not good. And he went through a big time slump before that as well. And it's concerning, but you know that he's got it in him to snap out of it and get back to being really good.
Okay, I'm going to go off the board and say somebody you didn't say. And I will get to that. Come on, the guy that can lead him out of this. We'll get to that today at 12:16. Plus your phone calls and feedback. It's Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket. Homeownership is closer than you think with a mortgage loan from the University of Michigan Credit Union. Imagine stepping into your dream home with no application fee. And right now, get $750 off your closing costs when you finance with UMCU. That's a lot of money you can pocket for your housewarming party, right? In your new crib. They offer competitive rates and flexible terms to fit your life, whether you're a first-time home buyer looking for pre-approval or ready to build a refi. UMCU is here to help. Visit umcu.org to get started today. Insured by NCUA. NMLS number 712343. UMCU is an equal housing opportunity lender.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered.
Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.